Galatians is where we're starting this morning. The book of Galatians, chapter 1. This is God's word. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we've already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the Church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. But I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Later, I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation and set before them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. But I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders for fear that I was running or had run my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because of some false brothers. Because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment, so the truth of the gospel might remain with you. As for those who seemed to be important, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not judge by external appearance. Those men added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been to the Jews. For God, who was at work in the ministry of Peter as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work in my ministry as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Peter, and John, those reputed to be pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The Apostle Paul is writing to a group of people who are in a church in a place called Galatia. It's a real place. That place is still in existence today, though it's changed a lot over almost 2,000 years of history. And Paul's writing to them. They're called the Galatians because they live in Galatia. If he was writing to us, we'd be maybe the Wares Valians or something. But he's writing to them, and these are people that he knows and people he loves, and he starts out his letter with words of encouragement. He tells them not just greetings, but grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Grace and peace. And then he begins in verse 6 to rip them. In verse 6, he begins some very strong rebukes because these people are doing something that is not just dangerous, it is scandalous. Sexual immorality? Nope. Embezzlement? Nope. They're deserting the gospel. They're turning away from the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? I'm so glad you asked that question. The gospel is all about Jesus. It's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just something Jesus teaches, not just something that, as Paul says, Jesus revealed. It's the gospel of Jesus because it's all about Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, I want to remind you of the gospel which I preached to you and on which you've taken your stand. And then he outlines the gospel for us. That Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins according to the Scriptures. That he was buried and that he was raised again on the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. It's all about what Jesus did in order to reconcile us to God. Because Jesus died on the cross, our sins are paid for. Not just a deposit made, not just, this ought to help. The bill is paid in full. When Jesus hung on the cross, he cried out, Tetelestai. That's an accounting term that means the bill is paid in full. Paid in full. Canceled. Settled. That account is closed because of what Jesus did. And when he rose from the dead, he demonstrated not only that the sacrifice had been accepted, that he really is who he claimed to be, that all the things he had said are true, but he demonstrated that we don't have to be afraid of death anymore. Because even death cannot separate us from the love of God. Jesus demonstrated that he is stronger than death, that he has authority over death, that death is not the end. Death doesn't win. Jesus defeated death for us. And so that changes everything. When Jesus hung on the cross and died, the temple curtain was torn from top to bottom. Now it is possible for man to come directly into the presence of God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That temple was designed by God, and even the furnishings and the layout, all designed by God in order to point to what Jesus was going to do on the cross. The whole sacrificial system stretching all the way back to the garden when God offered the first sacrifice on man's behalf. That whole sacrificial system, the whole thing was pointing to Jesus. All the Old Testament law, all the prophecies, all the Psalms, every bit of it, the history from Isaac being offered there on Mount Moriah as a sacrifice, and then God says, stay your hand. That was a picture of Jesus who would die in that place, the perfect, beloved Son of the Father. And God would not stay his hand. He would die. All the other sacrifices pointed to him. The experience of a Joseph. The scarlet cord that Rahab was told to hang in the window. All those events in history, every bit of it, every bit of it, pointing to Jesus. Noah and his family there in the ark. Jonah by himself in the belly of a whale. All those events, every one. David, the shepherd. All the events. Everything pointing to Jesus. That's what the gospel's about. It's about Jesus. Well, there were some folks who didn't want to believe the gospel. And they didn't want other people to believe the gospel. They wanted other people to be like them. And so they went around telling people, oh, Jesus isn't enough. You need to become like one of us if you want to be saved. You have to be part of our group. And gentlemen, there's an initiation process. Now, in the Old Testament, if you were a part of God's covenant people, the Jews, on the eighth day, the male child was to be circumcised. Very minor surgical procedure. If you got persuaded later in life as a Gentile that you wanted to become a part of God's covenant people, well, you had to be circumcised, and it's not as minor when you're older. Okay? But nevertheless, that was the process. That was the initiation. And it made you part of the group. Well, the Jews were very, very concerned about this. And in the Old Testament, it was a big deal. Moses almost got killed by God for having failed to circumcise his son. And his wife ended up circumcising the boy on Moses' behalf to save Moses' life. But she was not very happy about it. That's another story we won't go into this morning. But I want you to understand something. After Jesus came, circumcision was no longer required. Because again, that was a foreshadowing of what Jesus accomplished for us at the cross. And the way that we come into the covenant now is not by obeying a bunch of rules and getting ourselves circumcised. The way we come into the covenant now is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether we're young or old, whether we're male or female, it's all about faith in Jesus Christ. It's about trusting in Him. That's what makes the difference. Are you trusting in Jesus or are you not trusting in Jesus? Are you depending upon Him and Him alone for your salvation? Or are you thinking there's something you have to do in order to be saved? And what was happening was that a group of people who taught that if you want to be saved, you got to do this, 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 and this. And on that list, the thing that lets us know if you're really sincere is you got to be circumcised. And the Galatians were saying, well, hey, we want to do whatever we have to do. I mean, if that's what we have to do, we'll do it. See, the fundamentalist in me, the Norwegian Midwesterner in me, the good old boy in me, admires the Galatians. I think that's wonderful. What a great attitude. Submissive to authority, willing to do whatever you ask. Circumcision, I don't know what that is, but I'll do it. Okay? Yeah, I mean, you know, if that's what I got to do, you just tell me, you know, where's the line? Which door do I go through? What button do I push? Where do I sign? I just want to do whatever I got to do. Okay? Some of you have that disposition. Just somebody tell me what to do. I'll do it. I want to do the right thing. You want to do the right thing? You know, those are the kind of employees we like. Those are the kind of students we like. Those are the kind of offspring we like. We like folks who just, you know, okay, I'll do it. You said jump, how high? Okay, I'll obey. I'll do what you want. We think that's wonderful. And that's what the Galatians were doing. And Paul is going to tell them in this letter, I tell you the truth, if you receive circumcision, you're cut off from Christ. Wow, that's pretty strong. Now, see, if I were writing to these people, I would have taken a completely different tone because I have a different personality than Paul. You may not know that. You may think, Pastor Wood is really harsh.
sometimes he gets those eyebrows furled and that nostrils flared, and you know, if there's storm clouds on the horizon, I bet Pastor Wood is flaring his nostrils somewhere. Okay, it just scares me to talk to him. He's just a scary man, and he has sometimes that deep voice. Not always. Sometimes he makes woohoo sounds, but you know, it just is scary to me. And so you know, he could have written this letter. Well, no, here's what I would have written to the Galatians if I were writing a letter to them. I would have said, oh, my dear friends, I understand that some people have come down and tried to tell you that you have to be circumcised, and some of you are planning on getting circumcised. Listen, I have good news for you. That's really not necessary, okay? It's not that circumcision is a problem. It's not a bad thing. You know, I myself am circumcised. It's not a bad thing, but it's not a necessary thing. You don't have to go through that, guys. Just relax. Just chill. It's okay. That's what I would have said. But listen, Galatians, I want you to know I love your attitude. I love the fact that you're willing to do whatever you have to do. God bless you. That'd be my letter. Be shorter than Paul's. Okay? Paul didn't say that. Because Paul, unlike me, Paul was an apostle of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to draw a strong, clear line that all of us need to pay attention to. Paul says to these people, not just, oh, listen, you don't have to do that. He says, you better not do that. Because if you think you can do anything to add to what Jesus did, then you don't appreciate what Jesus did. And Paul says, if anybody tells you that you've got to be circumcised, or anything else, any other gospel other than the one I preach to you, if anybody preaches to you another gospel, which is really no gospel at all, let that person be damned. Let them go to hell forever. Now that sounds really serious. That is really serious. That's really serious. And Paul not only says that at the beginning of the letter, he says it twice. Sometimes people say things like that and folks are like, did he say what I think he said? And then they say it again. It's like, oh, he did say that. I guess he means that. Well, let me tell you something. Paul says it. Paul means it. It's true. This is the Word of God. People who try and preach another gospel, and there are tons of them out there today, people who try and preach another gospel, it's no gospel at all, and those people are damned.
Well, Pastor Wood, I just think there's a lot of diversity. I think there's different ways of looking at it, you know? I mean, some people look at it this way, some people look at it that way.
Oh, listen, there's a lot of diversity out there. There are many different ways in which people are going to hell. But there's only one way to go to heaven, and it's Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. He's the only way. So, yes, there's this belief system and this religion and this path. But there's only one way to heaven, and it's Jesus. Is that clear?
So, well, but what if a person is really sincere?
Well, they are really sincerely wrong.
Well, but what if a person is doing the best they can?
Well, our righteousness is as filthy rags in God's sight.
Well, but what if a person really believes?
Well, what if a person is a complete lunatic? Okay? If I really believe that I can fly, it doesn't give me the ability to fly. Some years ago, I used to mock the song that was out there on the radio that used to get tons of airplay. Mercifully, we've been delivered in recent years. I haven't heard it in ages. So I hesitate to bring it up again, but some of you are old enough to recall this.
I believe I can fly.
Right? You've heard that?
I believe I can touch the sky.
Right? Because there are people, listen, there are whole approaches to education based on the idea that we're going to teach people just to believe in themselves, and children, you can be anything you want to be. No, you can't. Try being a rhinoceros. It won't work. Okay? I'd like to be a giraffe. Well, you're out of luck.
You don't have the DNA for it. Okay? I know that I am only 4 feet tall. I don't know why I'm only 4 feet tall, but I know I'm only 4 feet tall, but I want to be in the NFL. I just believe that I have it in my heart to accomplish great things in the National Football League. Because see, while those other guys are all bumping into each other, I can run between their legs. Okay? And my teacher told me when I was in high school, if you believe it, you can achieve it. Well, your teacher lied to you. Okay?
Well, are you saying that we should not encourage children to dream?
No. I'm saying we should not encourage children to be psychotic. There's a difference. There's a difference. Now, the Apostle Paul writes to the Galatians and he tells them what you believe about the gospel is a matter of eternal significance. If you get the gospel wrong, you got it all wrong. It doesn't matter what else you got right. Okay? I think these people are right on church politics. The way they do church, I really believe, is a good thing. Well, what about the gospel? Do they have the gospel straight? If they don't have the gospel straight, the rest of it's immaterial.
Well, they don't say it exactly the way that we would, but...
Well, what do they say? Well, they say that, you know, if you want to get saved, you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this. Well, those people don't know Jesus. If anybody preaches any other gospel to you other than the one that I preach to you, let him be damned. That's what Paul says. Let him be eternally cursed. That doesn't mean they're going to be walking around heaven with a cloud over their head, lightning coming down and all this. What's with him? Oh, well, he's eternally cursed. No, they're not going to be in heaven. Those who are eternally cursed or eternally separated from God, they're in the lake of fire. That's what Paul's talking about. So Paul says, if you don't get the gospel right, you're damned. And that's why Paul will say later in this letter, if you accept circumcision, you're cut off from Christ. Because you can't be trusting in Christ except not completely. If you think that there's anything you can do in order to clean up your act and make yourself acceptable to God, you're lost. That's as clear as I know how to make it. Some years ago, I was trying to share the gospel with a young woman who was a student at the college in the town where I grew up. And she was saying that she couldn't become a Christian because she had a problem. After further discussion, it turned out that her problem was that she was very fond of smoking marijuana. And so I began to explain to her what the gospel's about. Jesus Christ doesn't just forgive our sins, he changes us, makes us new people. And when she came to the point where she decided she believed the gospel and she wanted to give her life to Christ, she said, "Can we talk outside for a moment?" I had asked her if she had any marijuana on her because I didn't want to be with somebody when they got busted because then I'd be busted too. Okay? And since I don't do drugs, I certainly don't want to pay the penalty for those who do. Got it? So I said, sure. We went outside and she reached inside her bra and pulled out. She was wearing a blouse too, but she had it inside the bra. She reached inside her bra and she pulled out a little container that had some marijuana in it. And she said, "Before I pray, what do I do with this?" And I said, "What is it?" And she showed me. It was some joints and some seeds and some little bit more stash. I said, "Put it back." And she said, "What?" I said, "Put it back." And so she went, "Okay." And she put it back in there. And I said, "Let me tell you why. That marijuana that you have is not the only problem you've got. And if you think I'm going to give this up so that I can become a Christian, you are misunderstanding the gospel. You don't clean up your act so you can become a Christian. You come to Jesus just as you are, and you give him your life. You surrender everything to him. just as you are. And then He will clean your life up. Do you understand? She said, I think so. I said, okay, let's pray. And so we prayed and she gave her life to Jesus. And after we prayed, I said, now, has Jesus forgiven your sins? She said, yes. I said, does He live inside of you? And she said, yes. Because we'd talked about God's promises. And I said, okay, now that Jesus Christ is living inside of you and He's your boss, He's your Lord, what do you need to do with that marijuana? She said, I need to get rid of it. I said, that's exactly right. Let's go get rid of it. And so we walked down to the dam in Montreat and tore the stuff up and threw it over the dam. I don't know if it had any impact on the fish in the stream, but it may have resulted in all sorts of marijuana plants coming up along the shores later on. I don't know. I do know this. After she gave her life to Jesus, she was a new person. And I look forward to seeing her in heaven someday. But you see, she gave her life to Christ, and He began the process of changing her from the inside out. If you think you can fix yourself, make yourself acceptable to God, you haven't understood the gospel. Well, but doesn't the Bible say we need to repent and believe the gospel? Yeah, but in that context, believing the gospel is repenting. But don't we have to turn away from sin? Absolutely. But we don't turn away from sin so that we can believe the gospel. We turn away from sin because we believe the gospel. Because I am trusting in Jesus, I don't want to do those things that I did when I was a slave to sin. Now I believe that God's way is right, and I am trusting in Jesus to change me. Because I've tried self-improvement. It doesn't work. Okay? It's like trying to hold a flotation device under the water in the pool. I get this part down and this end pops up. And so I push down on this end and this end pops up. And so I climb on top of it and then I come up. I can't keep it down. And that's the way it is with sin in my life when I try and solve the problem myself. It just keeps showing up, rearing its ugly head. It turns out I have a need for a Savior. I can't fix myself. The Galatians had been told about the Savior, and they had believed it and received it as good news. Then somebody came along and said, oh, you didn't get the whole picture. Jesus isn't enough. You've got to be circumcised. It's not enough to be changed on the inside. If you really want to be a Christian, you got to be a Jew. Okay? Now, it's ironic that we have come so far in history that now a lot of Gentiles think if a Jewish person wants to become a follower of Jesus, they have to become a Gentile. They've stopped being Jewish. And a ton of Jewish people really have that idea. I heard a testimony the other day from a pastor at McLean Bible Church, and he was talking about his absolute astonishment when he found out that Jesus was Jewish. Okay? He was a student in Chapel Hill, North Carolina back in 1971, and a fellow came along, shared the gospel with him, and he was absolutely astounded to find out that Jesus was Jewish, Peter was Jewish, Paul was Jewish. Turns out John was Jewish. In fact, all the apostles are Jewish. The early church was Jewish. Folks, you don't have to stop being Jewish in order to be a follower of Jesus. But you don't have to start being Jewish in order to be a follower of Jesus. You just have to follow Jesus to follow Jesus. You understand? It's not about ethnicity. It's not about education. It's not about economics. It is about being totally dependent on Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And that's what we're going to be looking at as we go through this letter, Paul's letter to the Galatians. It is good news. It is really good news. It is great news. It is the best news in all of history. And it's all about Jesus.